morning, Mike.
Ah, Toby Edmonds, for you ought to know, you're calling in. It sounds like you're right next door. Are you sitting out in the sun while I'm in this studio looking at the sun through the window?
Unfortunately, I'm not quite that lucky, no.
Okay.
But I'm going to work on it, though.
Okay. All right. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. And speaking of the sun, I notice what happens when the sun shines this way, that in particular, whether it's windows on a building or windows on a car or the car itself, the dirt that has accumulated seems to be much more visible than on a gray, rainy day.
That is true. It's a lot easier. It's just kind of like when you're looking at your floor, your kitchen floor or something like that, and lights are on, you think you'd be able to see more. Maybe when the sun hits it at a different angle, though, then you might look down and realize it's not quite as clean as you thought. You can see that dust just a little bit better.
And, of course, it is spring cleaning time, and we've been working at our home, working on and going through things and realizing what's accumulated. And I know that I recently looked at our vehicles and realized what had accumulated as well, under the seats, in a variety of places, in all of those nice little corners that people put things and then forget them. I know that particularly if you have children, vehicles tend to, you can tell, you can almost tell whether this is an adult car or a family car.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have five nephews. But I had two of them, the two youngest ones, a couple weeks ago, and I put their car seats in my car, and because both my children are teenagers, so they know how to pick up after themselves in a car, but I put their two car seats, my two nephews' car seats, in the back seat of my car, and I didn't give them any food, you know, it was just because we were only going to be gone for, 20 minutes or so. So I put their car seats in there, got them all buckled in. We went and did our errand, came back, and then my sister came to pick them up. And as they took their car seats out of my car, I noticed that even though they hadn't even been in my car all that long, I had all kinds of leftover remnants. I had Goldfish crackers everywhere, and there was wrappers and toys and stuff like that. And it is amazing how quickly a car can get very cluttered and very dirty just with having just small children or even animals inside of your car. And the animals, that's my guilty pleasure. I have three dogs that go pretty much everywhere with me. And even though I keep them in the back of the vehicle and I have all of their stuff back there, that dog hair still floats around and creates a little fine layer of hair everywhere.
Yep, we've encountered that too. And we have nicely set up, since both vehicles we have a way back area that can be blocked off. We have by looking, there are a whole variety of nice little fence guards that keep dogs from jumping over the seat, drooling over the seat, coming up and being with you in the front up cabin part of the vehicle. But you're right, it doesn't mean that everything stays back there. There's still stuff that happens.
Still floats around and creates a nice little coating everywhere. And even though I try very hard to keep my vehicle clean, it still gets in all the nooks and crannies and creates a little bit of a mess.
So how often, this is an interesting question around washing a vehicle. There inevitably, it seems, is a time when someone says, oh, okay, the sun has come out, I can see this car, I can't read the right license plate, I'm going to wash it. And immediately thereafter, it'll start raining or something. And particularly in the winter, it's difficult then to keep new stuff from adhering to your vehicle. In the summer, not so bad, because in the summer here, it doesn't rain that much. So once you clean a vehicle, it's almost California-esque, where down there, without rain, cars seem to just stay stay fine all the time.
That's funny you should mention that, because I do have a friend who came up not too long ago, and he wasn't even from California. He was from Iowa, and he came up actually in February, believe it or not, and was driving around, and he's looking at the cars, and he goes, people up here in Alaska just really don't seem to care too much about whether or not their vehicle is clean or not. And I was like, you know, Jim, it's not that people don't care about whether or not their cars are clean. It's just that this time of year especially, it's just very difficult to keep them clean. So a lot of people just tend to kind of just let it go until the weather improves. And then that's when you'll notice that they'll be out there cleaning their cars a lot more often.
Sure.
Because, you know, you do have the freeze and the thaw, and then especially for people who may not have garages, or they have a garage but can't necessarily park their car in it. You know, especially during the wintertime, you don't want to wash your vehicle, because you don't want the doors freezing shut, the windows freezing shut, the locks freezing shut. You know, ripping the weather stripping off of the doors is another very common one that we see in the winter months. You know, people will wash their vehicles and then can't get their door open, so they rip it open, and that rubber seal that's around the door of the vehicle will be damaged, or in some cases just be ripped clean off. So, you know, people, especially in the wintertime up here, we tend not to wash our vehicles too much, just because exactly like what you said, it's just, you know, you take it out, you wash it, and it just gets dirty like 5 minutes later.
Right. Now, there are people who drive, and I noticed someone recently this weekend who was driving a vehicle, a Jeep-like vehicle, or Jeeps, and then there are others that was encrusted with dried mud. And it almost appeared to me to be a message that was being conveyed, that I have just been where vehicles normally don't go.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, there are people who do enjoy going off-road, and they'll have vehicles, you know, specifically designed for going off-road in areas where most normal vehicles would not even attempt to go. And yeah, you're right, that mud is a badge of honor. Because I used to do very similar activities with my friend and I in high school with Land Cruisers. And we used to say the chunkier mud, the better. So if you're out there and playing in the mud or down by the river, you know, the more mud you could fling higher up on the vehicle, the chunkier, the better. And we leave it on there for a couple of days, just as it's a badge of honor.
So it, do you ever see a vehicle that's too dirty to work on?
Exterior wise?
Yes. Or yes. Maybe even interior-wise, either way.
Well, yeah, you know, and this just comes back to people not quite realizing what we do in the shop during a normal repair procedure. You know, it's not anything necessarily intentional. It's just not knowing. But, yes, it is entirely possible for a vehicle to be too dirty to work on, especially if you are looking for leaks of any kind, so oil leaks, coolant leaks. The most common kind of too dirty is, if a leak has been present for an extended period of time, or if there's multiple leaks, what you'll find lots of times is that the engine bay is too dirty, but because it's too encrusted in oil and coolant remnants. So when you're down there trying to find a leak, if the underside of the engine is too dirty from pre-existing leaks or extended leaks, lots of times what you'll find is that the technician will ask for an additional charge or an additional time to clean the engine up before he can actually identify the source of the leak.
Okay.
You know, if you have oil or coolant down everywhere down there, it's very difficult to find the source of a leak when you can't see it, because everything is crusted up with oil or coolant. The same can apply for dirt. If you have a truck or something like that, or if you live on a dirt road and you have mud and everything crusted down there, it can make it very difficult to work on a vehicle, because as you're trying to remove bolts or brackets or anything like that, everything is so crusted up with mud that it makes it difficult to access cleanly all the components of the vehicle. Same is true for the inside of the vehicle, too. It can be too dirty to the point where we can't work on it because if there is, especially if we have to get up underneath the dash or up underneath the seats, if there's a bunch of garbage or paraphernalia around that area, it makes it very difficult for the technician and awkward for the technician to get inside of the vehicle to access the points where he needs to access.
Sure. Yeah, got that. Well, it seems that I see more clean vehicles now. And that's not even to mention those that people are almost obsessively cleaning. And we've had a number of car shows. We had a recent one in the MTA Sports Arena here in Palmer, and there'll be another one coming up later this summer. And those vehicles are almost spotless. They have been gone over, and both interior and exterior engine compartments, et cetera, are absolutely pristine very often.
Oh, absolutely. You know, those people, they put in a lot of time and a lot of money into their cars, and they're very, very proud of them. You know, and it's just natural human instinct that when you have something that you're that proud of, and especially when it's in a show, you know, they do. They go through, and some of the products that they use on their vehicles and how they clean them and the methods that they use to clean them are really quite extraordinary because, like I said, I mean, they have some very beautiful cars, and part of what, you know, the fascination of a shiny car or a shiny paint job is very common. You know, it's you see the people, that's the first thing that you notice about a vehicle, you know, really. I mean, if you're driving past and you see a clean, nice-looking vehicle, I mean, really, the first thing that you notice is the paint.
Right.
You know, you want that paint to be shiny and to really pop because there's so many different layers and so many, you know, the higher-end paint jobs on a vehicle. I mean, you're looking at, I mean, just multiple coats of paint. It's not just something as simple as one coat of primer, one coat of color, and then the clear coat. I mean, you're talking, you know, 5-6 different layers of paint, and not all of them are the same shade either. You know, you have different tones that you'll put and layer over the original base coat to get the depth that some people want for their show paint jobs. And so just the paint on the car, period, is just, I mean, absolutely extraordinary. I mean, if you find yourself at a car show and you're looking around, take some time to just really enjoy the paint job that goes into some of those vehicles. I mean, if you look really closely, you'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, it's they're works of art.
So, you know, in the modern day, we have noted that many people have adorned their bodies with tattoos. As you were talking, I was thinking, there are some vehicles I see occasionally that have taken to some custom paint work or one thing or another that's been added, a detail. But I'm sort of waiting for the wave of personalization that's equivalent to tattooing on bodies that would happen with cars. Do you notice as you travel around, there are some places where there's more of a tendency to change the look with some kind of paint detail, et cetera, beyond the standard?
You know, custom paint jobs up here are, well first of all, to do the type of paint work that you're referring to, it's not something that you would be able to find at, like, a normal body shop. You know, if you went into, like, a normal body shop and said, hey, you know, I need to have my car repainted, and I would like for you to put, let's just say, like, a skull and crossbones on the hood. That type of paint job is not something that is very commonly found. Up here in Alaska, I'm not personally aware of, because really what you're talking about is the equivalent of an artist painting on canvas.
Okay.
That's kind of the difference. So, I mean, it's not something that is achieved just during the normal car painting process. And up here, I'm sure there are some people that do it. I'm not personally familiar with any of them just because it's not necessarily the scene that I travel in. But, you know, I do think that, you know, when you're down in more heavily populated areas, that's where you're going to find, because car culture up here is very niche. It's very small. The people who are in the car scene up here in Alaska, they're very committed, and they're very passionate about what they do. But compared to other areas in the United States, the car culture up here is very small. So when you have areas with, you know, more of a population, as well as areas that have maybe a larger car scene, a larger car culture, that's where you're going to get into more of the specialization type, the different areas. You know, you have more customization, more people who specialize just in specific types of suspension, specialize in certain types of custom cars, and then that's where you're going to see the people that specialize in custom paint jobs, like painting a skull and crossbones on your hood or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So the tendency here that I've seen is for trucks. You may have a lifted truck with very large tires and wheels, something of that sort. But that's interesting. Thank you.
Well, yeah, no, you know, it's really just depends upon the cars will reflect the culture that you reside in. You know, you see a lot more trucks that are lifted up here with the big tires and all the suspension travel, because that's the culture that is up here in Alaska. You know, we value things that are tough and things that can go into certain remote areas, because a huge portion of Alaska is remote. So, you know, lots of people will tend to customize their vehicles accordingly, with the intention of taking that vehicle into remote areas, which is so highly prized up here in Alaska.
Right, right. So as time goes on, looking into the future, I'm going to guess that may be the personalization of vehicles, although, of course, we have that other trend, the idea that we will be very often just saying, hey, Siri, start the car, or whatever, because we will not be driving vehicles as much. We will have self-driving vehicles, and those would likely be very very similar one to another. But as long as we have an idea that we'd like to personalize, I guess when we think of vehicles these days, what would you say is the thing that personalizes a vehicle more than anything else, that makes it a statement that this is my car?
You know, I think the most common way for people to truly personalize their vehicles, the one that I see the most, it's kind of actually a toss-up between seat covers and bumper stickers. And I'm not necessarily a bumper sticker, because I do know that a lot of people, myself included, when we do put stickers on our vehicles, they tend to put them more like maybe on the glass, so that way they don't wreck the paint when you need to take them off.
Right.
So yeah, you know, it's kind of a toss up between seat covers and stickers. I had one car in my shop the other day that had stickers all over it. I mean, it covered probably a good 20-30% of the vehicle with stickers. And I was looking at all these stickers and thinking to myself, you know, that the amount of time that they spent personalizing their vehicle, I mean, you could really tell that they had put, you know, some thought, and it was a very much so a something that they cared deeply about to personalize their vehicle with the different types of stickers that they had accumulated and put on their vehicle. And you know, and it's really to each their own. I mean, some people prefer to not put any stickers on their vehicle, but yet maybe they'll have you know, seat covers on their car with matching floor mats. You know, I think that most people will choose to personalize their vehicles, or you know, in the case of some people, vanity plates.
Right.
The personalized
right.
plates. So, I mean, I think that most people will choose to customize or personalize their vehicles, you know, in kind of a smaller way than some other people who may choose to put thousands of dollars worth of accessories on their vehicle. But I think everybody really, at one point in time, has had a vehicle that they've formed an attachment to. And when people form an attachment to their cars, that's when they tend to be more likely to personalize them, because they really do view their car as an extension of their personality, and they want it to be seen as such. So they will customize their vehicle to show that their car is unique to them.
Right. Okay. Because it seems to be an interesting contrast between the kind of independence that is expressed by people living in Alaska and the reality of buying a vehicle very often that is just like 1,000 other vehicles.
Right.
In color and model, et cetera. I mean, there is a choice. We have certainly an abundant choice in the kind of vehicle you have. But once you've decided on that, go down the road. If you have a newly acquired vehicle and suddenly you begin to see cars just like yours all over the place. Yeah.
Right, because you formed that new reality because you're like, oh, well, I didn't realize how many blue Toyota Corollas are on the road until I have a blue Toyota Corolla, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when you notice all of them, because you've formed that new reality by acquiring that vehicle. So, yes, of course, now that's what you notice.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, I've asked a lot of questions. Do you have anything in the few minutes we now have left you'd like to throw into this conversation?
I wanted to talk about an event that my shop is holding this weekend. It's actually, you might have seen or heard about my Wheels to Prosper program.
Right.
It is it's a car giveaway program. Well, it's not quite a giveaway, but what it does is it works on nominations. You can either nominate somebody who is deserving and in need of transportation. You can nominate yourself. You can nominate a friend. You can nominate a neighbor. It doesn't really matter who does the nomination, just as long as you provide both your contact information and the person that you're nominating's information. But one person will be selected and given the opportunity to purchase a refurbished vehicle for $1.
Huh. $1? Ooh.
$1.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. We're giving away a Kia Rondo. It's a refurbished Kia Rondo. It's been gone through. It's been everything that needs to be replaced. It's been replaced. Maintenances, services. It's been detailed by Car Deets. The parts were donated by Napa, our local Napa store. We've had some advertising help from Country Financial, the Santerre agency, as well as Ohana Media Group, and of course we're talking about it on your lovely radio station now. But it's just something that we wanted to do to kind of give back to the community. And you know, there's a lot of people that are really good people and are trying very hard every single day, but just maybe can't do certain things or can't have the same opportunities that other people might, just because they don't have reliable transportation to get back and forth to either, say, a job or a hospital for a loved one or you know, daycare for their kids or whatever it may be. So we're donating a car. Like I said, it's a refurbished Kia Rondo, and we are looking for nominations for people who, like I said, are deserving and in need of some transportation. Everything needs to be submitted by the 17th. We're going to be doing the car event on the 20th, so this Saturday at noon. Everybody is welcome to attend. We're going to have some prizes. We're going to give away some prizes. We're going to have some hot dogs, as long as it's sunny, which I really hope it is. We're going to be outside and just kind of hanging out. And at the end of the event, we're going to select one person, and they're going to have the opportunity to buy a car for $1.
Sounds like a wonderful thing. Well, thank you, Toby, and Looks like we've come to the end of another edition of You Ought to Know.
Yep.
Have a good week.
You too, Michael. Take care.
Bye-bye.